Hello, welcome back to the Montana Mint Sports Podcast. We're back with week three. We first off want to say thank you again to Laney Lou and the Bird Dogs for playing us in. We also want to remind you to subscribe to this podcast. You can find us on iTunes, the Google Store, or Stitcher. All you have to do is search Montana Mint. Even type in Cat Grizz and we're going to be the only podcast that comes up. Shocker. Also, we want you to subscribe to our newsletter. All you have to do, go to montana-mint.com, give us your email address, sign up for our weekly sports email that comes out during the season. You're going to love it, we're going to be having some exciting stuff come out later this year, throughout the year, with that as well. With that, I'm back here with Bear Tycoon. What is up, Bear Tycoon?
It is good to be back, Hot Take Nate.
We are very excited to be back. We had a couple interesting games last week with the Cats playing South Dakota, not San Diego, South Dakota State University at home. The Grizz went on the road against number 7, Washington. We're not going to spend a ton of time right now talking about the Grizz and the Huskies. We actually have Sean Rainey, the sports director for ABC Fox Montana. He called in and got to talk to Bear Tycoon about the Grizzlies, about that Washington-Montana game. So we're not going to spend a ton of time talking about it here because Sean Rainey has you covered a little bit later on in our podcast. You definitely have to keep listening to hear what Sean Rainey has to say about that. So we're just going to get right into the Montana State-South Dakota State game. And I don't think that people thought it was going to be this close. 31-27, South Dakota State did escape Gold Rush in Bozeman with the win. But, I mean, I think the Cats impressed a lot of people in this game. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, Vegas had the line, I think it was 12 points last week. South Dakota State is number 4 in the country. They are a good football team, and we were unsure about the Cats. Looking at the offense move, I mean, a loss is a loss and it hurts, but Chris Murray looked like the real deal. He had threw for 311 yards, 4 touchdowns, ran for over 100 yards. He is the 5th player in Bobcat history, I'm reading right now, to have thrown for over 300 yards and rushed for more than 100. I know a loss hurts, Nate, but you have to feel good about the fact that the Cats were competitive and that Chris Murray looks so good.
Definitely, and I think the scariest part was when the Cats got down 17-0 in the second quarter. You're like, damn it, here we go again. Like, we just got off this Wazoo game, and they got beat 31-0. They didn't score in the first quarter against South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits put up 7 on them in the second quarter, and you're thinking, here we go again. Like, are we going to score? Did we get our hopes up a little bit too much this season? And then they kind of came roaring back. And then you saw Chris Murray look like a real deal quarterback, just like you said. 4 touchdowns, that 1 interception he threw a little bit late. It was picked off at the end zone, a super costly interception. But I think he saw the route there. He just threw it a little bit too late. That could have been, you know, 5 touchdowns for him on the day. And when he scores 4 touchdowns through the air and 0 with his legs, that's when you know he's kind of progressing, it seems like, into more of your I guess he was not a passing quarterback at all last year. So he's kind of transitioning into where he can pass the ball, which was evident by his 311 yards. So that was super encouraging to see. And just that when he got into that groove in the second quarter, you could see that it clicked for him. And I think that's exciting if you're a Bobcat fan for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about who the other guys on the offense and what went well. The frustrating thing with this game, I mean, I'm a Grizz fan, but I do root for the Cats when they're not playing Montana.
That's so weak. That is so weak.
I just love the state, bro.
I love the state too. I am never going to cheer for the Grizzlies. I know that. But anyway, go on. That's neither here nor there.
The frustrating part to me was Cats lose this game by 4 points. Luke Daly, the kicker, goes 0-for-2 from field goals. You can't miss field goals. If he connects, the Cats would have won this game 33-31. The Grizz had kicking problems last year. It was super frustrating. Do the Cats have a kicking problem?
Oh, the Cats definitely have a kicking problem. There's literally no doubt about that. Even head coach Choate said something this week that they're going to take a long look at their personnel that they have out there. If you're not performing, your job is going to be, you know, up for competition. The Cats had a great kicker last year in Gabe Hebberger, and he lost out to the starting role to Daly this year. Daly came back from some legal troubles. But Choate's not going to hesitate to use him if he thinks that Daly can't win games for him. I mean, he also missed an extra point in this game too. Kind of a blown protection, I guess you could say. But something's wrong there, and I don't think Choate's going to hesitate to fix that, especially when you come away this close to knocking off the number four team. And like he said, a program-defining win if they would have knocked off the Jackrabbits here.
Yeah, interesting. Nephew of NFL great Adam Vinatieri was on the other side of the field, Chase Vinatieri, who did not miss a kick all day.
And he ran in that fake field goal that won the game for the Sens. And he ran fast. If you look at that, he got that flip over the shoulder from the holder, and he was gone. He made one little inside move, but there was nobody around to get him. And I read that he played wide receiver in high school. You could tell he was quick, and there was nobody there that was going to stop him. That was a great call by the Jackrabbits. It sucks if you're a Cats fan, but that's just one of those ones you chalk up to great coaching for the Jackrabbits.
And even Coach Choate tipped his hat to the Jackrabbits after the game. He said, forget the exact quote, but you know they saw what we were doing and they read it perfectly, and it was the perfect call for that moment. The Cats were not prepared for it at all, and South Dakota State knew.
Exactly, and so that was a heartbreaker. And in, we talked about last year how many times the Cats came close to knocking off some really good teams in Choate's first year, and you kind of, I guess, maybe took some moral victories over it. And I think Cats fans are taking another moral victory over this win against South Dakota State, but at some point you're just like, can we please just cross that line and win one of these close games? I mean, in a sense, they did against the Grizz last year. They closed it out with that pass to end the game. But it's these games right here. You lose to the number four team in the country by 4 points. Like, you had that game. You could have won that game. And it's going to be – I think they're going to get there where they're going to start winning these games. You can see the momentum. You can see the talent, the very young talent that the Cats have. And I think they're going to start putting together these games where they do take these games that they can. So I think that's exciting. But yeah, it's frustrating to see these close losses, and we saw them all last year, and now in our first FCS game this year, we saw one.
Would you say that, so obviously over the past year and a half, the top moment was the Cats beating the Grizz, I know, but would you say that losing by 4 points at home would make it into the Cats' top five best moments for the past two seasons?
Top five, probably.
That's not a good sign.
It's not a good sign, but shoot, I'm just trying to think of some other the big moments. I mean, the win against UC Davis to kind of get off that losing streak last year was a big win at home. It would be. I mean, I'm trying to think of, I mean, Chris Murray's emergence last year when he got to start playing more for Brugman, I think that was a top five moment when they took him out.
That was another loss though, right? That was the Sac State game.
That was Sac State. They lost. But I was talking about as a whole, it was a top five moment to have Chris Murray come in and take the reins. You're right. I mean, that, it's not fun to have this be a top five moment, but I guess, I mean, it was a rebuilding year last year. It's only two games into this year, so I'm assuming that most of the top five moments will be pushed out, hopefully by the end of this year, to have five new moments, including another Cat Grizz win, I guess. I don't know.
Are there any other Cat players following this game that you're pumped about?
Jabari Johnson, 8 receptions, 116 yards, 2 touchdowns. Him and Mitchell Herbert both had 2 touchdowns, but Jabari Johnson was kind of the unknown. 6'4", 210. He played at Sac State, transferred to American River JUCO up in Sacramento, and then he transferred, obviously, to the Cats this summer. Not a burner by any means, but he's a big boy, and he showed he can catch the ball, and he can break some tackles to get into that end zone. So I think that's really exciting to see the emergence of Jabari Johnson. Herbert is a very solid receiver. We all know that. Cassis had a touchdown called back by a hold. He had four receptions for 40 yards. But I think the biggest thing about this is seeing the receivers getting involved and seeing that we do have some talent out there that Murray just couldn't get to against Wazoo and couldn't get to last year because he just didn't have the experience and the mechanics to throw the ball in college football. So it's really kind of fun to see this receiving core step up and show what they can really do once Murray gets them the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for sure. The weird thing about this season, in our very first podcast, we predicted, we weren't going out on a limb at all, but we said the Cats would be 0-2, start out 0-3, and that the Grizz would be 1-1 at this point, go to 2-1 after this upcoming game. So far, we've been dead on. Not to pat ourselves on the back, but we probably can.
By the way, I did call the Cats would cover at home.
You did?
That 12 point, I called that.
And the crowd was fired up. They looked so good in those yellow uniforms.
Those yellow unis were amazing. They need to keep it going with those color rush jerseys. That was amazing,
Hell
by
yeah.
the way.
We got.
But yeah, we're about where we thought we would be.
Yeah.
I mean, both teams.
Nothing too exciting. We probably should have started this podcast when the Big Sky Conference play starts up. It's not a ton to discuss with these cupcakes, but here we are. We watched the one exciting game, Montana State versus South Dakota State, and now we got another cupcake coming up this week.
Yeah, we have Savannah State coming to Missoula. Savannah State, do you know what their mascot is?
The Tigers.
Well, you looked it up. Okay.
Yeah.
You never would have known that had you not been prepared for this, which is great that you're preparing for this, but I honestly didn't think you would know that because I had no idea until I looked it up today. They play, obviously, from Savannah, Georgia. Their capacity of their stadium, which is always fun to talk about, 8,500. Colors are burnt orange and reflex blue.
Oof,
is right. Kind of like a Boise State hybrid. But yeah, so they're coming to town.
Yeah, and so Savannah State, it's a tiny school. It's only got about 4,000 students. They are an FCS school, but they are not good.
By name only.
By name only. They are not good at football, Nate.
Nope.
The Amy Just in her column this week out like did a nice little preview for this game and said that for the past 10 seasons, Savannah State is 15-85. Last year,
is that bad?
That's not good. Last year, okay. They went 3-7. Three of those losses were shutouts. But they did beat Howard University last year. Howard University beat UNLV this year. So ipso facto,
they were better
Savannah
than the
State
running Rebels.
Could have beat a middle of the road FBS team last year.
There you go. The transitive property of football comes back.
So the one other thing. They, before jumping to the FCS, they were a Division II team where they compiled a record of 97-108. So that's not very good. They went from an average D2 team to a bad FCS team. But there's good news for Tiger fans. In April, the school announced that they're dropping back down to Division II in a couple of years. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
There you
okay.
go.
There you go. The team's only NCAA playoff appearance occurred in 1992. I can't remember. I mean, obviously, I don't even remember what I was doing in 92. Shoot.
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
Strolling the mean streets of Billings.
That's right. That's right. Gorham Park, what's up? So, yeah, Savannah State coming to town. They're not going to win. Grizz get cupcake number 2. At home, so all the fans can get fired up. They get to tailgate. They get to watch the Grizz put up some points, and they give the Grizz fans maybe a false sense of that they have a great offense. What do you think?
I think so. I mean, last year the Grizz demolished with the Mississippi Valley State, who was also an FCS
team. Delta Devils.
The Delta Devils. And really, against Bryant and against, I think, Sac State and against Mississippi Valley, the Grizz put up these huge numbers. So all season, their offense was ranking towards the top of the FCS, but it was deceiving because they had three or four blowouts throughout the year. So we know they had like a number one offense, and then we'd watch them play a middle of the pack Big Sky team and not be able to move the ball. I think Stitt's going to want to put a big number on the board this week, though I do think the second stringers will see some time if they're up big. Stitt was pumped following the Washington game that everybody was healthy. And I think he's going to want to stay healthy going into going into Big Sky play next week. But yeah, I think the line on the game I saw was 33 points. I expect the Grizz to blow that out of the water.
I would take the Grizz to cover that one.
And I mean, I think after getting smoked last week, they're going to want to a little bit of redemption. So look for
definitely when you get beat like the Huskies did to them, 63-7. You want to come out, get that momentum, get some confidence back after you just got manhandled by a great team. Don't get us wrong. We're not saying that the Grizz should have put up more points or anything like that, but they need to get some swagger back, I'm assuming. And there's no place, you know, better to do it than the loudest stadium on earth, Washington Grizzly.
That's right. The defense is going to have a great game, too. Last week against Appalachian State, where they lost 54-7, the Tigers only had 37 yards in the air. So look for the Grizz to dominate heavily on both sides
of
the ball.
Well, that being said, Chris Murray only had 28 yards through the air the week before and then came back with 311. So maybe we're overlooking the Savannah State quarterback.
Maybe. If you can tell me what his name is, then I can say maybe we're overlooking
him. Savannah State.
Yeah.
You know what? You're probably right. We're not overlooking them. They're going to get their asses kicked.
So then after that, we get into some Big Sky play, which will be fun. And we're through kind of the cupcake schedule of September.
And I think that's the coolest part about having playoffs in the FCS is that and having an automatic bid is like these first two games for the Cats were, I mean, fun to watch in the sense that you got to see them play an FCS school and then you got to see them play they got to play an FBS school and then played very well against an FCS school.
Yep.
And it doesn't hurt their chances to make the playoffs and by any means. They run the table in the conference. They get some wins in the conference. Some other teams lose. They can make the playoffs still. So I love that fact about FCS football is that you get to watch some entertaining games and one loss or two losses right away in the season. It doesn't end your season.
Yeah, that's right. I love the FCS.
Oh, and it's amazing. I don't get how some people can just watch FBS and not have the playoffs, like an actual 16, 18, 20, whatever it is, team playoff. It's pretty fun.
Yep. Well, good. Well, I think I have nothing else to say. This is not an exciting game last week. This is not really an exciting game coming up this week. So I'm tapped out, Nate.
And the only thing I have to say about the Cats bye week is that it sucks that it's week three. It's okay that it's the week before the UND game. UND is a solid physical team, so it'll be nice to get people healed up. But after two games and one that they played pretty conservatively up in Pullman, week three bye sucks. I would rather have that one later in the year when you really do have to get some people healthy. So that's all I got to say about the Cats bye week.
Yeah.
Great job, AD.
That's all there is to say. Yeah, and I think our boy Montana Parlay has got some stuff to say about this week's Grizz game.
I think he called both last games, too. I think he's 2-0 on the season.
4-0, if you look at the emails he sent me. We didn't record for week one, but yeah, he is 4-0
on the season. So that doesn't count? Nobody knows what he said?
I have record of it.
You have record of his first week?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, if you have record, if it's in writing, okay, he's 4-0. So if you can actually find a website that'll take your bets on FCS football, listen to this next segment and make that money.
Welcome back to another edition of the Weekly Gambling Update. That's a working title, folks. I'm Montana Parlay. Please send your gambling questions, rants, and suggestions for a half-decent name for the segment to @MontanaParlay on Twitter. This is a bye week for the Cats, who moved to 2-0 against the spread with an easy cover against the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State. MSU started the game slow, but quickly showed their potential to be a contender in the Big Sky by nearly pulling off the upset as 12.5-point underdogs. Special teams and penalties plagued the Cats, but they may surprise some people this year if they can be more disciplined. The Grizz dropped to 0-2 versus spread as they fell to the mighty Washington Huskies of the Pac-12. It is very hard to get a gambling read on the Grizz as they have faced two opponents where UM is either more than a 30-point favorite or a 30-point underdog. Things don't change this week as the Grizz host 33-point underdog Savannah State. Savannah State is coming off a drubbing by the now FBS conference member Appalachian State. Can the Grizz turn things around and finally cover the spread? Well, not covering in the home opener versus Valparaiso doesn't give me much confidence, and coming off a physical matchup against Washington won't be easy. I'm taking the points in this one. Grizz 44, Savannah State 13. We'll see you next week, and good luck to all you gamblers out there.
All right, we're back. Thank you to our boy Montana Parlay for giving us his picks on this week's game, singular. Hopefully he can run his record to 5-0. You can make some money and everybody's happy. All right, let's get to the Big Sky. Let's start grading the Big Sky. Way too early to be grading the Big Sky, obviously, but what do you think? Should we do that?
I love it, man. We've talked a lot about the Bobcats and the Grizz, but let's see what's going on with the other 11 teams.
All right.
Why don't I will, why don't we trade back and forth? I'll give you the resume for a team, and you give me a letter grade as to what you think.
First
team up, we got North Dakota. They are 1-1. They lost 37-16 at Utah, and they have a win against Missouri State, 34-0. Hot take, Nate, what's your grade?
A B, because they're 1-1 in the Big Sky, and their only loss is to an FBS school.
That seems fair. The win against Missouri State's pretty definitive, 34-0.
Yeah, I'll go B. I'm going B.
All right, who do you got up next?
What's your grade on them?
I'll give it a B. That seems like a fair grade.
Okay. All right, we're it's a B. All right, my first one, University of Northern Colorado. 1-0, they have a win. Get this, a win versus the College of Idaho Yotes. N-A-I-A. I had to look them up. No idea. No idea where it's at. I mean, I know it's in Idaho, obviously, but what's your grade for UNC?
Ugh. Well, I would give them, I don't know, like a C-. 41-0 against an NAIA school. Not that great. Huge disappointment this week that their game against Florida got canceled.
And that is why I'm giving them an A.
An A.
An A for using Hurricane Irma to save their football program. That's an A from Hot Take Nate. An A for Northern. They would have lost their program if they played Florida down there.
If you told someone from University of Northern Colorado, we are not going to lose to Florida this year, they would be so happy. I guess you're right. Maybe an A. Winning against Idaho stinks. But I think Irma, I'm so mad that this game got canceled. I was so fired up to watch them just get smoked. Can we give Irma our Hater of the Week?
Yep, Hater of the Week. There it is. Hurricane Irma for stealing this gross satisfaction we would have had of seeing one of our Big Sky brethren get absolutely demolished.
Yeah.
By an SEC school. Hater of the Week goes to Hurricane Irma.
She destroyed Florida.
You're off the hooky, Grizz, in Bobcat Nation.
She destroyed Florida, which was awful. All these poor people, and on top of it, she canceled this game.
Fuck. That's an A for UNC, though. That's an A. We are in the clubhouse.
All right. Well, next up on the list, we got Eastern Washington, 0-2. They lost at Texas Tech, 46-10. Then at home, they lost North Dakota State, 40-13. If you're Eastern Washington fan, you got to be disappointed about that NDSU game. I give them a C+.
Ooh, that's very, very nice of you, because I give them a D. A D.
Yeah, that's fair.
This new coach is like running this offense that's splitting the passing and the running, and you have this Gabe Gabrud guy who threw for 5,000 yards last year, and you're splitting time with your running back. I mean, no, throw the damn ball, do what got you to where you're at and how you're getting recruits and how you got that god awful red field. Throw the ball and don't lose 40-13 to NDSU at home.
That's an ugly final score. Who do we got up next?
All right. UC Davis, 1-1, a loss to FBS San Diego State, and a win against FCS San Diego, 35-7.
I will go A-.
All right, I was going to go B.
I like that win against San Diego. They're a regular playoff team. Good for UC Davis.
Davis is a shit team, too. They don't win.
Yeah, but they won big against San Diego.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'm going to go. You gave me my. I'm going B. I think they're actually getting some votes in the top 25. They're not in the top 25 of the FCS, but they're getting some votes. Surprising start to the season for Davis.
Next up, we got Northern Arizona. You'll remember that I voted them number one overall in the preseason Big Sky poll. 0-2. They have losses at Arizona, 62-24. And a loss at home against FCS Western Illinois, number 25 in the country, but they lost 38-20. That has got that has got to be what, a C?
I mean, I've got a see, I mean, it doesn't tell us much. They lost to Zona, which, I mean, everybody's losing to these FBS schools. Yeah. Western Illinois was the number 20 team. The only news, I mean, it's a C, and they're going to lose their coach at the end of the season, if you saw that. They're not renewing his contract at the end of the season. He's been there for, like, I don't know how many years.
Yeah, like 2 decades, forever.
Yeah, came from University of Montana over there. So they're losing their coach. They're 0-2 to start the season. It's been a tough schedule, so I don't really know. I mean, C,
give him
just
a C.
Because, like,
give
you can't
him a
tell
C
at all.
Give him a C and their coach gets expelled.
Yeah.
Who's up next?
C. All right, we're going to stay in Northern California. Sacramento State, 1-1. A loss to Idaho, the Vandals, who are still FBS, I believe, right now. And a win versus Incarnate Word. Do you know where Incarnate Word is?
I have no idea. I would guess California.
No, it is not. It is in San Antonio, Texas. I'm actually literally, as we speak, trying to look up if they are an FCS school. When I knew the Incarnate Word, they were not. But yeah, so FCS school, they won 56-22.
Okay. I give them Idaho. I mean, that's a fine loss. FBS school, it's a big win over another FCS school. I give them a B+.
All right, I'll go B- just because Incarnate Word is awful.
Yeah, I've never heard
so
of them.
B-. They won a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the Incarnate Word Cardinals. I think I had a buddy that went there, actually.
Yikes. Didn't do too well in high school.
I think it's this really nice, like, private university. We can't talk about their academics, but their football program is shitty. All right.
Next up, we got Cal Poly, the only team who's played 3 games. They've lost all 3. They lost home against Colgate, lost at San Jose State 34-13, and then this past weekend lost in overtime to Northern Iowa 45-38. That Colgate loss is ugly. Nate, what do you give this team?
Gotta give them a, I mean, the UNI loss, they're number 21 right now, so they just cracked the top 25. I'll probably give them a C-. I mean, that Colgate loss, not a great loss. They just lost to the Richmond Spiders this last week, so Colgate loss is bad. But they played UNI all right, though. I'm gonna go C+.
I'm giving
that's really being generous.
I'm giving them an F. They're 0-3. Wow. They're the only 0-3 team. Whatever. Colgate is not a great team. They've lost. And they lost at home to Northern Iowa. F. 0-3 is terrible.
Damn. Maybe I was just being too generous. All right. All right. Well, we got to disagree on that one. All right. So next up for me, I have the Idaho State squad. They're 1-1. A win against the powerful Western Oregon NAIA team.
Oh, yeah.
And then a loss versus FBS Utah State.
The problem is they didn't beat Western Oregon convincingly, 37-6. So I'll give them a C-.
Yeah, I'm going to give them like a C. Yeah, I'll agree. C-. Let's move on. Idaho State, nobody cares.
Yeah. Weber State, here's an interesting one. They win huge. They're 1-1. They win huge against Montana Western NAIA team at 76-0. That's what you should do against an NAIA team. And then this past weekend, they lose to Cal 33-20, but Weber State had the lead in that game, and it was a close game for most of it. What do you give Weber State?
I'm giving them a B. That Cal game was actually pretty impressive up in Berkeley. That Western game, you're supposed to kill a team like that. Like, they couldn't have probably put any more points on the board if they tried. Like, you probably brought in your second stringers, third stringers, whatever. So I'm giving them a B because they did what they're supposed to do against an NAIA team, and they played an FBS team very hard.
Yeah, I'll give them an A-. I mean, again, that's what you should do against a crappy team. And the Cal game, I mean, I'd give them an A but for the loss, but that's a pretty good loss, 13 to a team like Cal.
It's a Pac-12 school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. So my last one, I'm going to go with Portland State University, an interesting 0-2 team. A loss versus BYU 20-6, pretty good. And a loss versus Oregon State 35-32, which they had the lead in that game.
You have to give them an A. This is the most impressive resume out of any Big Sky school, in my opinion. Obviously, 2 losses, but close games, both on the road. Portland State, you were top of the class, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you there. That's an A for Portland State. That OSU game, not that Oregon State's a power at all this year, but when you're going up and playing a Pac-12 school in Corvallis and coming away with a three-point loss, which a game you probably should have won, I'm giving you an A.
Yeah. Then the last one I got, Southern Utah. Southern Utah got their teeth kicked in against Oregon, 77-21, and then beat Stephen F. Austin, 51-14. Nate, what do you grade them?
I'm going with a B here because, yeah, they got their asses kicked by the Ducks, but most teams would if they played up from the Big Sky. And then win against Stephen F. Austin, you throw up 51 points and only give up 14. I'll give you a B.
Yeah, I love it. I think I agree. B. Look, if you got any disagreements with us, hit us up on Twitter because we check it often. We don't have too much to do.
We don't at all. So, yeah, hit us up on Twitter and then tell us if we're wrong because we love when people tell us we're wrong. Maybe you'll be our next hater of the week. Maybe.
Perfect.
All right. Well, that was fun. All right. We're going to move on quickly here. We're going to take a quick break, but right up next after this, we're going to have our interview with Sean Rainey. Again, he's the sports director for ABC Fox Montana. Should be a fun listen there. So we'll take a quick break and we'll come back with Sean.
The Montana Mint Podcast is brought to you by the Montana Mint Store. Montana Mint fans, are you looking to upgrade your wardrobe? Well, check out the Montana Mint Store to find a selection of unique gear to proudly represent the state that you love. All products from the Montana Mint are designed and printed right here in Montana. Best of all, the profits we make from the store, we reinvest back into the company so we can do cool things like this podcast. As a special offer to our podcast listeners, enter the promo code MINTSPORTS, all one word, and receive 10% off all orders over $30. That's MINTSPORTS, all one word, for 10% off. Check out the store by visiting store.montana-mint.com or just Google the Montana Mint Store today.
All right, I want to welcome Sean Rainey to the Montana Mint Sports Podcast. Sean is the sports director at ABC Fox Montana and the host of the Grizzly Sports Report. You can find him on Twitter at Sean Rainey. Sean has a documentary called Prison Ball debuting next week. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, Sean, you are the very first guest in the three-episode history of the Montana Mint Sports Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. What an honor.
Now, I know that you're a California guy. You grew up in the San Diego area. I'm wondering, what's the most common reaction you get from a Montanan when they find out that you're from California? Do they roll their eyes, or do they normally just come and physically attack you?
Well, it's kind of changed over the years. So I went to college here. So I've been in Montana since 2007. So it was more like when I was in college and stuff, you know, you kind of got the, oh, you're the California guy, you know, type thing. But now I've kind of been here, you know, for a decade now, and a lot of people that I work like come across in the business like have seen me here for a long time, so they almost like think that I'm a Montanan, and I married a Montana girl and been here for about a decade, so I pretty much consider myself a Montanan now. So they're kind of like almost surprised, like, oh, I didn't know that you were from, you know, San Diego area. I'm like, yeah, you know, but. Yeah, I consider myself a Montana now, so I'm married into it. So.
Yeah, married a Montana girl. That's a pretty good thing for the resume. And folks, yeah. Folks know you from the news covering the Grizz, which probably helps your credentials. I know you traveled with the Grizz last week to Seattle. You were posting on Twitter all about the trip. You got a couple things that you could give Grizz fans, a couple positive takeaways from the 63-7 beatdown that the Grizz received?
Oh, I think there's a lot of positives. This isn't me just kind of looking through, you know, my maroon glasses here. I said at halftime, you know, the second half, I kind of wanted to see him do a little bit more. But I felt, after watching the first half, that I was more, like, confident in the team moving forward throughout the season after the first half at Washington than I was after their win against Valpo. It's when you're on the field, it was crazy just seeing the size and the speed and the strength of Washington. Like, it is just other level. It was insane. And the Grizz hung in there. Like, they didn't do anything to, you know, like, you're going to have them get a sack every yep. because you're just outmatched at every single position. But when they protected Reese Phillips, he was throwing the ball, getting it to guys where he needed to go, and they were moving the ball, and they didn't give up any huge plays defensively, which they did against Valpo. They kind of, you know, kept the ball in front of them, and, you know, it was just hard to, you know, tackle some guys that are, you know, lead the Pac-12 and punt returns and stuff like that, set records. So I think that they actually played really well. And when I talked to Coach Stitt after the game, he's like, I'm going to watch this tape and I'm going to see a lot of good things. And they were very confident after the game, despite the score. So
yeah, I mean, they certainly, if you watch the game without a scoreboard and you know, not listening to it, just watch the Grizz offense. I mean, they were moving the ball. And they had a couple chances to kick field goals that they passed up. And so I feel like the 7 points is a bit deceiving. But yeah, well, I'm glad that you're optimistic. It's hard to be optimistic after a 56-point loss, yeah. But it does seem as though the narrative is kind of positive in the Grizz message boards and on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we kind of knew, you know, going into the season that we're not going to know who this team is until after week 4.
Yeah.
You know, when you have Valpo, Washington, Savannah State, you know that they're going 2-1 no matter what. So you can't really base anything off of anything until the Eastern game in week 4. But, you know, that said, you know, I saw a lot of positive things. You know, they didn't look, you know, despite the score, I don't feel like they were embarrassed. You know, they went out there and played to the best of their ability. They were just, you know, outmatched at every single position, and so there's just not much you could do when you're going against you know, a team in Washington that probably should be ranked higher than they are at 7. So
right, that were in the college playoffs last year.
Yeah, like hanging with Alabama last year. I mean, come on, it's crazy.
The Bobcats down in Bozeman are currently 0-2, but they played South Dakota State pretty tough on Saturday. If you had to put money on it right now, who do you think wins Cat Grizz in November?
Oh, man. Put me on the spot. It's kind of, you know, the road teams had a lot of success, you know, really in the last, like, 5-6 years.
Yep.
It's going to be really interesting to see. Man, so far down the road, without injuries and stuff, you know, you would probably have to put it on Montana for now. But tell you what, man, the Cats are playing really well. Their defense is tough. They're hanging in there. And if Chris Murray continues to show strides like he did against South Dakota State, they're going to be really tough. So, I mean, man, that's a tough one. But for right now, I'll give the slight edge to Montana.
Yeah, it's a good – thank you for taking a side instead of saying it's too early to tell. But the Murray looked great on Saturday. You know, I think the Washington State game, he was just getting hit by the time you take 2-3 steps back. And so I feel like this was our first chance to really see him play. And South Dakota State is good. And he put up some big-time numbers.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned – you know, there's a couple players where I said, you know, it depends on health. There's a couple guys on each team. You know, Murray, we'll see if he can take that beating throughout the whole year with as much running as he does. He's not a very thick guy.
Yep.
And it was kind of like when they had Denarius McGee. He was always around the Cat Grizz game. He was always hurting and pretty beat up, which, you know, impacted the game. So I'm a little worried about him being healthy. And then, you know, on Montana's side, Jerry Louis McGee, you know, another guy that's not that big and can, you know, takes a beating and has been banged up in the past. So, you know, I think we'll go with whoever's the healthiest out of those two guys. I'll go with that team to win.
All right, that's a fair answer. Look, you follow the Grizz probably closer than anybody. This is year 3 of the Bob Stitt era. How would you grade Bob Stitt after his first two seasons and two games? And also, I come from the camp that you have to give a coach a lot of time to put his system in to really get ramped up. This is 2 years and change. So what grade would you give him, and how much time do you think you should give a coach before you can really assess their success?
Let's go go with a C.
Okay.
Maybe a C minus, because, you know, the first year they went to the playoffs, they showed flashes. Obviously, North Dakota State started off so awesome. It was just one of the coolest games to be at. But, I mean, if you're at Montana, I feel like, I mean, you have to make the playoffs. You just have to. Like, that's an expectation that everyone expects, and you just have the resources and the facilities unlike any other team in the Big Sky. You have to make the playoffs. Like, there's no excuse for not making it, no matter what. So that doesn't, you know, didn't sit well with fans, and, you know, you have to make the playoffs. So we'll see in this third year. What he is doing that I'll give him a lot of credit for is they're recruiting good players, talented players, but good kids, and they're doing it the right way. They're not, you're not folding under the pressure and bringing in, you know, questionable character guys that are really talented to try to win now. Like, they're doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about, you know, whether he's going to get more time, you know, after this year. I think he has to make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, I think he's gone. That said, I think they do make the playoffs. But I think they have to win 7-8 games and beat the Cats. Otherwise, it's going to be a lot of pressure on Ken Haslam to make a decision, because, you know, Grizz fans won't be too happy. But, yeah, it's hard, especially with his type of a system and the players that he wants to get. It's, you know, you'd like to be able to give them, you know, 5 years, per se.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when Montana's made the playoffs 23 out of the last 26 years, and if two of those are under your watch, I mean, that's not a good look. No matter what. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, we certainly will see. I have a feeling Stitt's going to try to put up a bunch of points this weekend just to kind of get folks fired up for the year. You mentioned that he's had, you know, he's recruiting a bunch of good character guys. Two questions for you. Out of the young Stitt recruits, who are you most excited for down the road? And also, between the Grizz and the Cats, who do you think is winning the in-state recruitment battle?
So guys that are, like, redshirting this year or guys that are incoming next year?
I guess redshirting. Guys that are dressing but not playing a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting with the way that Coach Stitt does it is he doesn't dress true freshmen, like, hardly ever. Like, he wants every single freshman to redshirt. He's only going to play you if it's like an emergency situation. Like, Isaiah Banks is pretty much the only freshman that, you know, has a chance to burn his redshirt this year, because he likes the incoming freshmen to be, you know, redshirt, and they get tight and close as friends and as, you know, teammates, and then they're together for 4 straight years. And then that makes the team closer. And that's what Coach Stitt's all about. That's the culture that he's trying to change. He's trying to make this team one unit. Not an offense, not a defense, but all guys that love each other, mm-hmm. and will play for each other because they love each other. And that's what he's all about. As far as who's winning the recruiting battle, you know, I'm kind of weird with recruiting. I kind of hate National Signing Day, actually. I think it's cool for the kids. Like, I love covering the kids side of it, but when you're covering it for Montana State, you know, you're saying, like, oh, they got this many guys that are supposed to be good, and this team has this many guys that we don't know. We have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, the top recruits will end up, you know, not doing anything, and then you'll get, you know, a walk-on kid that'll end up being the star. So I think it's unfair to try and grade anything. I would say both teams are doing, you know, it's kind of flip-flop. I think the Cats did pretty well in-state, you know, the last couple of years. But I think the Grizz, you know, this last year and this incoming year, have really focused in-state. And, when you're getting, you know, Gatorade Players of the Year back-to-back, and, I mean, Gabe Sulzer is going to be a stud. Obviously, he's, like, the big name. But they got a lot of guys. The Deming twins have both that are redshirting right now. Both the coaches, they're awesome. and they both like Nate Dick and Tanner Wilson at quarterback from Polson and Senior. So it's so hard to tell. I know Troy Anderson, he's going to be a beast for MSU, and Tayden Gilman's really good from Glacier and Hashley. So, I mean, we'll just see how it all plays out. We'll know down the line here in a couple of years. But it'll be fun watching all the, especially the local Montana guys, kind of grow up in their programs.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. So kind of, you got a big knowledge on all things Montana sports, and it kind of leads into this documentary you've put together, Prison Ball. Prison Ball debuts next Wednesday at 9:35 on the Fox stations across Montana, and it's going to re-air October 1st at 4:30 p.m. on the ABC stations. You're also going to make it available eventually online. If folks want to see it, they should check out your Twitter, which is at Sean Rainey. Give us a little rundown of what Prison Ball is about and how you came about putting this together.
All right, so we do these Hometown Proud shows in May where we kind of feature a different town in Montana, usually a smaller town, and we do our whole 5:30 show live from there. And then it's my job for whatever the town is to come up with a cool sports, story to do out of the town. And in May, Deer Lodge was one of the towns. I was like, well, what the heck am I going to do a sports story in Deer Lodge in May? Because kind of high school's out and there's really nothing going on. I was like, well, it'd be cool to do something with the prison. Whether it's on I'm a big basketball guy. I love playing pickup basketball and stuff. So I was like, I wonder what pickup basketball is like inside the prison. And so I tried to get a hold of them. Took me a while to get a hold of them, and then they were getting a new warden. And long story short, it took me a couple months to really get them to even let me go out there. And then I went there and just saw that the entire sports culture inside the prison and how sports runs the entire prison and how they all behave well because they're given a lot of opportunities with sports. And so I was like, there's something bigger here. Yeah. And so I decided, hey, let's make this a documentary.
Well, it looks like, I mean, a lot of these guys have nothing to do but train up. So they play, from the trailer, it looks like there's a lot of softball and basketball. Are those the two primary sports that folks are playing?
They're playing everything. Horseshoes, handball, volleyball. They just had a flag. They're getting flag football going. They had a flag football tournament over Labor Day weekend. It's fascinating. To make it a little bit more clear, in the prison, there is a maximum security side, a high security side, and a low security side. And on the low security side is where they're able to do all of this stuff.
Okay.
They get 2 1-hour periods where they're able to do all of these sports. And they have leagues and tournaments and championship games. And, they're allowed to have weights, like free weights, which a lot of prisons don't have because, I mean, you could just grab a dumbbell and whack someone with it.
Right.
But they're given all of this on the low side with the incentive that if you're on the high side, the high security side, that you'll behave well so you can try to get to the low side. Meanwhile, all the guys that are on the low side know how well it is and that they're given all this opportunity that they behave well because they don't want to screw it up. So the whole behavior system of the prison runs off of them being able to do all these sports. It's fascinating.
Did you see any, are there any stud athletes at the prison? I mean, I know Ryan Leaf is out of being detained.
Yeah.
are there other folks where when you were talking about the leagues that they have where it's like, oh, well, so-and-so is just an absolute force in softball?
Yeah, I mean, they have some good ones. They're saying one guy used to be a pro boxer, and he was in there hitting the bag and stuff. And, when we shot some of the softball games, there was guys, one guy made a diving catch. Another guy's like, hitting the triple, sliding into third, and stuff there's athletes in there for sure. There's also a lot of guys that have no idea what they're doing, which is kind of the point of it. They all kind of just make up teams and they just play to have fun, and it's kind of like a small little 1 hour escape from the fact that they're locked up, that they can all go out and goof around and play this sport, you know, and it's, you know, the kind of the question is whether or not they deserve to be doing all this stuff.
Yeah, and is it too much?
That's like, are kind of the main question that the film, you know, answers, at least I hope, you know, answers as you watch it.
Yeah, well, it certainly looks super interesting. We love at the Montana Mint, we love seeing folks put together cool content about the state and finding these unique stories. So we're jazzed up for it. Again, it's called Prison Ball. It debuts next week on the Fox stations around Montana at 9:35 p.m. Sean, thank you so much for joining us. And check him out at Sean Rainey on Twitter. And hope that we can have you again on soon.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a blast. Come on anytime.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
All right, we're back. We want to say thank you again to Sean Rainey, sports director for ABC Fox Montana. Technically, our first guest ever on this Montana Mint podcast. Barrick Tycoon, does that make us legit?
No.
Didn't think so, wanted to check. All right. Does not make us legit, but we had our first guest, and we do want to thank Sean. Any shout-outs?
Yeah, big shout-out to former Grizz Trumaine Johnson, who dominated in the Rams-Colts game over the weekend. Johnson had a pick six against Scott Tolzien, and he forced and recovered a fumble for the
Is
Rams.
Scott Tolzien a Hall of Fame quarterback?
Well, he's better than most of the players that True saw in the Big Sky Conference, but boy,
all right,
he dominated. What about you?
He did. That's cool to see. My shout out goes to Cooper Kupp. Yeah, I know he's not a Montana boy. He's not
same
from the
game.
Cats of the Grizz. Same game, same team, actually. Cooper Kupp, we all loved him when he played for Eastern, even when he was owning every single team he played, but Kupp. First game in the NFL, 4 receptions, 76 yards, and a touchdown. He's on every single person or every single fantasy league's waiver wire. Someone's going to get him in your league, so snag him if you can. Shout out Cooper Kupp. We still like watching you play, even though you weren't a Cat or a Grizz.
We're all rooting for him.
You know what's up next?
What?
Brock Osweiler watch.
Yeah. Nate.
Here it is.
This is our weekly check-in on our boy Brock Osweiler. Tell me how he did this week.
Zero snaps.
Ooh. That's our Brock Osweiler
watch. That's your
Brock
Osweiler watch. Also, another reminder, if you do want to sponsor the Osweiler watch, hit us up. It's the state is abuzz over the Osweiler watch. All right, well, that's what we have for week 3 here. It was another fun one. Thanks, everybody, for listening again. We're going to play you out again with some Lainey Lou and the Bird Dogs. Check them out on iTunes, Lainey Lou and the Bird Dogs. They play us in, they play us out. Also want to remind you to subscribe to this podcast. Go to the Google Store, go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, type in Montana Mint, or type in Cat Grizz. We'll come up, subscribe to us, listen to us each week. Also subscribe to our newsletter, montana-mint.com. Check it out. Have some fun with us. What do you think, Bear Tycoon?
Love it. Another good week. Thanks, Nate.
All right. We will see you next week, but we'll let Lainey Lou and the Bird Dogs take you home. See you, everybody.